Shark Fishing by Allegra Hyde. There was a storm, a shipwreck. There were Puritans looking for a place to pray. A reef, serrated and rising from the sea, named the Devil's Backbone by those who outswam the drowning tug of hosiery and buckled boots, the swift darkness in a throat full of brine, who felt the soft footing of a sandy shore. The island they named Eleuthera, a Greek word for freedom. Then there was a cave, like a yawning mouth, a home, high-ceilinged, acoustics of the finest church. A rocky pulpit, too perfect for coincidence, a sign to the Eleutherans, a gift from God. The island knelt before them, a blank surface of sea and sky, waiting to be given a past and a future. This is that future. The locals call the island Lutra, as if sun and salt could erode letters, too. They fish from docks, staggering rotten-legged into the sea, their bodies black against the horizon, like human hieroglyphics. And yet how hard it is to read the meaning in their poses, to separate defiance from defeat. These children of children of children of slaves, shackled and shipped to an island named freedom. The locals, they speak too quick for me to understand sometimes, their voices like chiming bells. "Dat's de ting," they tell me, dark arms lifting slack fishing lines. "Grupa getting smaller and smaller." Before long, the Eleutherans feared they'd failed their maker. The rye they'd planted hadn't come. Their few spades cracked and split. They sweated, starved, dug graves for their companions, gripped scripture with cracked and bleeding hands. Affliction is a bitter root, but it bears the sweetest fruit. "Got him," says Nehemiah, reeling in a dripping fish, scales silver. He knifes the belly open, shows me a final rubied pulse. He looks relieved, remorseful. "Only do old men do de dirty work now," he says, tossing fish guts off the dock. "De kids, they all gone." The sun hangs low, hammocked by the afternoon. The sea swallows a little more of the coast. But it bears the sweetest fruit. The Eleutherans begged for help from northern churches, praised God when it arrived, bundled and blessed, on a charitably chartered vessel. They unpacked crates of sugar and salted pork, axes, hoes, and saws. They unpacked munitions and pewter spoons, beeswax candles, starched white linens, and silver sewing needles. They unpacked the makings, or so it seemed, of a bold new civilization. To proffer thanks, the Eleutherans shipped 10 tons of Brazoletto timber back to Boston. The wood became precious anywhere but on the island. Red-grained, good for dyes and violin bows, its sale endowed Harvard University. I am at the same university hundreds of years later, in a room packed tight with students. I am here to speak of Eleuthera, an island fragment in the spill of the Bahamas, to speak of Camp Hope, our work there, a new era of environmental innovation. I have become like Brazoletto, valuable elsewhere. The students shift in their seats, stare with cautious piety. I shift too, hands braced against the podium, waiting for my words to settle into order, the ones that have ballooned and thickened, made me a new kind of evangelist. "Thank you, but my words, I feel them crowded out. The Eleutherans, they wander through my mind as if they'd colonized that too." It was still dark when I rattled the bunks of several students. They snapped to attention, shaking off drowsiness to ask, "Did we miss roll call? Are we in trouble?" I told them no, but to get moving, to gather their notebooks and cameras. We're going on a field trip, I announced, in spite of my head-clawing hangover. I want you to see the site of the proposed cruise ship port, a pristine cove. I'll be expecting an essay. Really, though, the trip wasn't for them. I'd woken needing to see what Adams called unspeakably important, the beach that would otherwise be encrusted with tiki huts and rubber slides. I needed to remind myself what we were working to save. Our van chugged down island, trailing French fry fumes. Fitz sulked in the back, but the other students babbled, bright-eyed, which took the edge off my headache. A man digs his grave with his own teeth, the Lutherans once told one another, even with mouths full of gravel, their tongues coated in sand. As you sow, you shall reap. Pole bean, melon, goat pepper. The air stings with ash from slash and burn. Cabbage, tomato, cassava. But you can't eat ethics, can you? Locust, they chewed all them holes. Can you? I pulled the van onto a sandy side road, spilled out with the students. Broken glass crunched underfoot. In the distance, the weathered cement shells of several buildings, water winking through the crooked legs of a stilted lifeguard chair. I thought we were going to a pristine beach, said a student. I checked my map again, just as bewildered. This was definitely the place. Further on, the ground was tiled, cracked stairs leading to a swimming pool filled with brackish water. A drowned golf cart. C-L-U, said a moon-eyed boy, peeling back a curtain of vines to read a tiled wall. Club Med. I knew I should say something about the resilience of nature, but I felt suddenly tired. My hangover crept back. I wanted to curl up in the ruins and sleep 100 years. Where's Fitz? Said another student. There'd be no sleeping. Of course Fitz would wander off. I cursed silently, then I told the students to follow me and began jogging around the old resort, calling his name. Half an hour of hunting and still no sign of him. We regrouped. The students circled around me, dutifully awaiting my next instruction. Yet I couldn't help thinking how outnumbered I was. You would tell me if you knew where he was, I said, giving them each a hard stare in turn. You would tell me, right? The students stared back, sweaty and confused. One girl looked about to cry. Drink some water, I said, regretting my accusations, but noticing also how late the day had already become. Dusk crept closer. I'd neglected to pack any supplies. Hydrate, I told the students, then we'll do another sweep. This time we extended the search, circling out to the beach, even peering up the legs of the lifeguard chair. We whistled, we shouted until our throats grew hoarse. Still nothing. The students, unflappable, continued sifting the landscape. I paused and began trying to formulate an explanation. Fitz got lost. Ran away, evaporated? In the late afternoon light, the sea sat silvery and oblivious. I almost felt jealous. That horizon line, so effortlessly smooth, like a single sheet of polished metal. Except for something, a floating something, about 30 yards out. The pale limbs of a body. Ms. Vargas! I saw a student running towards me and braced myself for the heart squeeze of failed responsibility. Then I realized I was fine. Fitz! The girl nearly barreled into me, breathless, pointing. Not towards the sea, pointing towards a set of tracks, a castaway stride sliding farther down the shore. I looked at the body again. A hunk of driftwood. They were freed, the Lucayans told one another, when the sun saw his reflection. They named the island Eleuthera, a Greek word for freedom. Freeman status? The plantation owners asked. How about apprenticeship? Club Med, be free and fabulous. I found Fitz in a cave that opened like a yawning mouth. What the hell do you think you're doing? My question ricocheted off the high ceiling, the damp limestone walls. Fitz didn't answer. Instead, he sat cross-legged, serene. His gaze flickered towards an oblong boulder near the front of the cave, a rock oddly shaped like a lectern, a pulpit. Make a speech, he said, his face leered spectral in the half-light. The other students by then had drifted into the cave as well. They wandered about, necks craning back to stare up at the high ceiling. Whatever Fitz was getting at, I decided to ignore. Okay, show's over, I said. Everyone back to the van. Make a speech, Fitz repeated, this time louder. The other students stilled, went quiet. You're not feeling well, Fitz. I tried to sound calm, even bored. You have sunstroke, that's why you got lost. We need to get you back to school. He didn't move. I glanced at the rock again, its unusual shape. Was there something magnetic about it? I imagined my hands on its surface, smooth and cool. Come on, Ms. Vargas. Fitz's voice echoed and expanded, as if channeling a thousand voices, a chorus of the dead. Tell us about paradise, about a better world. The other students stared at me, waiting. The Harvard students stare at me, waiting. If I could, I would say this. After Columbus pushed his way to the boat's bow for the first view of land, after the last Lucayan died, huddled in a cave, and the Eleutherans starved, then baited ships, after the plantation fields, rows of cotton, spires of pineapple stalks, the whip crack of progress, after the rum runners, the Navy base, the resorts that burned coppice for golf course grass, named themselves Cotton Bay, Pineapple Point, after the hurricane, after tarmacs became landing sites for drug planes instead of princesses and tennis stars, after settlements emptied to only slaves' ancestors and Haitian refugees and a few sunburnt whites sequestered up in Gregorytown, all of them, black or white, drunk on nostalgia, when all that was left of the Lucayans was a few chipped bits of palmetto ware, there was us. Don't you believe? Said Fitz. Aren't you a believer? He began laughing, or choking, his head lolling back, the guttural noise crowding the cave like the beating wings of bats. Sunstroke, I told the other students as I wrenched Fitz to his feet and hustled him back to the van. Sunstroke, I told myself. In the dark of the night, water pours from the sky, slips through limestone like a sieve. A joke no one seems to get. Nehemiah holds out his hands and looks toward heaven. Water leaks through his fingers, too. The drop, drop, drop of tears. We returned to Camp Hope later than planned, but no one seemed to have noticed. Everyone was busy celebrating the work of the biologists. Earlier that day, they'd pulled a monstrous primeval shark from the depths. Eyes an iridescent green, 6 radiator gills. The shark had never seen light the way we had, swimming so deep. The length of the Empire State Building beneath our boats. Hallelujah, Adams boomed on the phone when I described the discovery. We're going to have research vessels up and down the coast. They'll never get that cruise ship port in with this in our back pockets. This is damn fine news, damn fine. And on that note, Don, you ready to become assistant director? Under the surface of the sea, the surface of memory, that taut lip of time, they swim back and forth, as they've done for millennia. Those ancient things we barely believe exist, pulled from the water like drowned secrets. A species that outlasted the dinosaurs. They circle us still, eyes filtering the eternal twilight of the deep. They had seen it all. Every item that sank to the ocean floor, every spear or hymnal, doubloon, manacle, pearl necklace, every pen and student notebook. The Lucayan people had a myth, I tell the Harvard students, at last beginning my speech. Once, their people lived in a cave, unable to leave for fear the sun would turn them to stone. And they listen, as they always listen.